Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy 94.9.
This is Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. 1300 Joy 949.
Gay
News
Week.
Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9 with Jeffrey, Sammy and Matt.
Here at Gay News Week, we aim to cover topics that have been in the news over the past week and how they impact you, us and our community.
On tonight's show, we're going to be talking about some politics and things that have happened in Canberra over the day, particularly with the vote around equal marriage. We're going to be talking about a doctor who's come up with a gay cure and what's happened there with regard to a patient that he was treating. We're going to be talking about dating apps and Craigieburn School Initiative. So if at any time you want to ask some questions or put a comment to us, this is how you do it.
You're listening to Gay News Week with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt on Joy 94.9. SMS 0427 JOY 949. Email onair@joy.org.au. Phone 1300 JOY 949. Tweet at Gay News Week JOY.
But first, the lower house of federal parliament today has overwhelmingly voted against a bill aimed at amending the Marriage Act. The Marriage Amendment Bill of 2012 was introduced by Labor backbencher Stephen Jones and was debated and voted on in the House of Reps early this afternoon. Government MPs were allowed a conscience vote on the issue, but Mr Abbott announced opposition MPs were expected to follow party lines, leading to the final result, 42 in favour and 98 against.
So the vote went down along expected lines, with a lot of members of Parliament obviously voting against. And the numbers were quite substantial, to be fair. 98-42 is a significant loss. And what that means to me is that a lot of the Labor members who we might have thought would vote in favour of equal marriage have clearly come out and voted against it, which I think isn't the way we necessarily thought that it was going to go.
The unfortunate thing, I think, is we were sitting in a position where we were under the assumption that we were actually, it was going to be a closer race than this.
Yeah.
But the reality is majority of the people who voted no in this have already said previously that they were unsure of whether they were going to be covering their electorate properly or they were had already come out against support of it.
So 98-42, there are 150 members in the House of Representatives, so there are 10 people who for whatever reason weren't present for the vote. So there's a little bit of investigation to be done into that to find out why those people weren't there, whether they had deliberately made themselves absent so that they didn't have to have a recorded vote on this issue, or possibly that they had genuine reasons for not being present in the Parliament.
Yeah, exactly. And I noticed on Twitter today, Latika Burke from the ABC tweeted that there was one particular member, Brendan O'Connor, he wasn't able to make it due to family illness. So there are reasons why some parliamentarians aren't able to be present for the vote. But I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see whether some people have accidentally locked themselves in a stairwell or something like that just so they didn't have to vote and so they didn't have to be put into the public spotlight like so many MPs are today.
Well, also too, you know, like one of the others that have actually come up as hasn't had a vote is actually my local member, a member for McEwen, which goes from sort of edge of Craigieburn Wallen all the way up through to Seymour. Hmm. Now, Rob Mitchell, who is the Labor member for the area, has actually said that he felt that his electorate was divided in the issue and they were pretty much 50-50 on the support, whether it was going to be on how he was going to vote. So he chose to abstain from the vote because he felt that if he voted either way, he wasn't going to be supporting his electorate. But I think the important thing to take away from this is for everybody to have a really good look at who has voted no, and if they are your local politicians, you need to go and have a serious talk with them.
Yeah, I know. I was really surprised that my federal member, somehow it slipped through my own radar, that my own federal member actually voted against this bill. And I wasn't aware of that at the time, and I had a look on various websites, and he's actually come out and said that he's against it. So I know I certainly myself will be personally having a bit of a meeting with him and asking what his views are, and if just to justify those.
We're certainly going to be putting up a link to the voting list of the Members of Parliament on our social media sites a bit later. Other people who came up with some interesting positions in the voting was Kevin Rudd, who voted against equal marriage with this bill. And that's interesting in the context of him having made a statement to Karen Phelps previously that he felt that had he remained Prime Minister that gay marriage would have gone through. So there's a little bit of something going on in his thought process, and it's hard to understand how he can go from that position and from his pretty conservative religious background to this vote today. There's some inconsistency there.
Yeah, most definitely. And I noticed this one today with Kevin Rudd. Whatever he's doing out there in the community as being in a public figure, he likes to tweet about things, and he likes to let everybody know what he's doing and how proud he is for the things that he's doing. I checked Kevin Rudd's Twitter
feed
this afternoon.
He's been strangely quiet.
Very quiet. And I tweeted him this afternoon. No response, surprisingly. Why he's voted against the marriage equality. It'll be interesting to see what if he gets asked by any other journalists.
Well, of course, you know, it was no surprise that Julia didn't.
Yes, well, that was expected.
But there also has been a lot of people, and I mean, I don't know why they were expecting to think that all of a sudden she'd wake up this morning and go, oh, I'm going to vote yes. Because the reality is she's been very consistent with her views on this matter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she is voting against what was considered to be a consensus of support within her own party and as the leader of that party. But, you know, she was never going to change her opinion.
But she has got... Okay, so fair enough if she doesn't want to... if she doesn't herself want to vote for marriage equality, but she has done the right thing by allowing the conscience vote in Labor, I'm inclined to say. That's my own personal view, that she could have done what Tony Abbott has done and just said, no, follow party lines. But at least now that the party lines have been amended in Labor.
With regard to Tony Abbott requiring people to follow party lines, it's interesting when you look back about some previous statements by both Julie Bishop and by Malcolm Turnbull, where they've said that they would cross the floor against party lines if this issue came to a vote. And notably, they've obviously acceded to Tony Abbott's requirements today and have voted against the marriage equality bill that went up today. So
I would love to hear what you have to think about the issue. 0427 joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Let us know. How's this going to affect you? How's the result? And what do you think about the whole thing? You are listening to Gay Newsweek right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Gay Newsweek podcast with Sammy, Jeffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
So, of course, we've been discussing the marriage equality bill, which was denied today in a federal parliament. And, of course, we would be totally remiss in this discussion to, of course, bring up the many statements made by the representatives of the community as a whole, including the one made today by Corey Bernardis. And let's have a bit of a listen.
Or any other type of relationship that takes place. There are even some creepy people out there, and I say creepy, who are afforded, unfortunately, a great deal more respect than I believe they should, who say that, you know, it's okay to have consensual sexual relations between humans and animals, and you know, will that be a future step? Will that be one of the things that say, well, you know, these two creatures love each other, you know, maybe they should be able to join in a union? And you know, it's extraordinary. I find that these sorts of suggestions are put forward in the public sphere.
Joy 94.9.
Okay, as we take a breath after hearing that, and Matt, our technical producer, is nearly having a conniption on the floor, but that notwithstanding, he describes an extraordinary evolution between being gay and potentially bestiality and having sex with animals. So,
charming. Absolutely charming, if you ask me.
Equal marriage for us obviously leads down that path, also says Corey Bernardi.
The thing is we're actually listening to someone standing up in federal parliament... Mm-hmm. supposedly speaking for his constituents. Mm-hmm. Yep. I just want to know
the upper house as well.
What planet does he live on?
Mm-hmm. So he's a senator for South Australia, and so he comes from what is ordinarily a relatively progressive state politically. You could disagree with that, I suppose. And on his websites, he says that he supports Judeo-Christian values and is supporting families, or families as he defines them, obviously.
Right. Well, it sounds like a family man with good Christian values, if you ask me.
Well, you know, the reality of this whole thing is this is the man who, after this statement was made yesterday, a conversation was had between him and the leader of his party, Tony Abbott. And Tony Abbott, who, you know, we may not agree with his politics at a lot of times, but he did stand up as a leader and as the boss of his party and said, dude, really, there's the line. You're 5 kilometres that way. I want your resignation. So I do have to give him credence for actually, you know, standing up, having a peer, and demanding that this gentleman has actually seriously crossed the line.
So, and it's important to recognise, although we don't necessarily often support Tony Abbott, that he has stood up. He has required him to resign from his position as a parliamentary secretary. And it's important to know, though, that he appointed him in the first place. And the reason that's an important understanding is because Malcolm Turnbull, when he was leader of the party, sacked Corey Bernardi from being a then parliamentary secretary because he'd overstepped the line making comments that were notably anti-Muslim. So Corey Bernardi has form in regard to this sort of behaviour. So whilst Tony Abbott might get a little bit of credit for sacking him this time round, he appointed him in the first place, knowing his views and knowing his history.
Oh. My favourite part is looking at Corey Bernardi's website, just down a little bit down the page, he has an email newsletter, and above the email newsletter, it has the My Fight for Common Sense, because he sounds like he's speaking so much common sense so far.
I know, and speaking of common sense, and this is, you know, something totally off the ballpark, you know, he's talking about us accepting ways of life and comparing us to people that have alternative views. Views, will I just say, there are more states in America that accept this behaviour than there are states in America that have marriage equality.
By which what Sammy's saying is that more states that have laws supporting bestiality as a reasonable option in life than homosexuality. So anyway, moving from that,
I'm just puzzled of how these two things became linked. But
well,
anyway,
it comes from the same thing. And, you know, I begrudge having to raise this issue because we do speak about the interesting comments made by the ACL on a weekly basis. Unfortunately, they do give us a lot of fodder. But, you know, we're coming from the same sort of think tanks that are saying that we're like Nazi supporters, people that are supporting marriage, same-sex marriage. You know, we're not allowed to be, you know, involved with children because, of course, anyone that identifies as same-sex attracted is potentially a pedophile. So, you know, we're coming from this mindset of these same sort of people that fail to realise that, you know, we are who we are. But we have had quite a number of messages in. So on SMS 0427 Joy 949.
We certainly haven't. Terry has sent us a message. I've recently moved from country Queensland partly because of homophobic attitudes, and unfortunately, I personally know too many people who do believe the absurd bestiality, etc. ideas. Some politicians that state their state they represent their constituents actually are yes. but and also we've had quite a few about Kevin Rudd, which I was actually really interested about because Kevin Rudd, he's campaigning to be like his campaign was basically based on becoming kind of the people's person. He was out on Twitter. He was going to, he wasn't just on the usual ABC politics shows. He was on kind of the regular man's shows, people who aren't into politics. He tried to tap that audience, and it's partly what he's doing with Twitter as well. And he has like the way he's kind of gone about this is kind of he's gone behind the backs. Like you'd think you'd expect a hell of a lot more from him, who's kind of been the people's person. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is we have heard of late that Rudd is, you know, saying, "Oh no, I'm not going to make another run for the leadership," but a lot of statements are being made. We've also had an email in from Caroline, who is one of the many volunteers here at Joy. She said, "Hi, Sammy and guys, great discussion. Julie Bishop surprises me, and Kevin Rudd is showing true colours, trying to be everyone's friend, but when it boils down, is he a Christian hardliner?"
Which I'm inclined to agree.
And I would have expected Kevin, because of his conservative religious background, to always have had a point of view against gay marriage. So I was surprised when the comments of his conversation with Kevin Phelps came out, saying that he was someone who, if he had remained Prime Minister, would have been supporting equal marriage. Another interesting person is Rob Oakeshott, who actually said, with regard to some comments that were made over the preceding week, that the shorter gay and lesbian lifespan is in fact a reason, if we do have a shorter lifespan than our straight brothers and sisters, to support equal marriage, because it ends discrimination, and that will therefore put people in a better mental place and therefore extend their life. So he's actually drawing connections between the issues, which for a relatively conservative independent in the House of Reps is a pretty good thought process, I think.
And I think Caroline's right with bringing up being disappointed with the Deputy Liberal Party leader, Julie Bishop. In 2011, she declared that she's willing to listen to the views of her electorate. Now, at that time, there was a poll done in her electorate, and roughly 80% of her constituents were in favour of marriage equality. She said that she would be prepared to break ranks with the party's hard line if there was a conscience vote or if there was something put up before Parliament. So in only a year, she's been quite happy to turn around and go, "Yeah, now I'm going to do what I'm told."
Mm.
So, you know, as far as representing her constituents, that's been a bit of a backlash.
And certainly Julie Bishop comes from Curtin in Western Australia, where she's the local member. So she comes from a relatively conservative state. So the fact that she did a poll in her community, and I'm not quite sure of the methodology of that, but anyway, and came up with a result of 80% of people in favour of equal marriage, is a bit surprising in that electorate. And if that's the strength of feeling, well, then imagine what it would be in the inner city, and obviously that's the sentiment around the country, and we know it's in the 70% supporting equal marriage.
Mm. And staying with Liberals who kind of came out and went against their word previously, Malcolm Turnbull, he came out earlier in the year, or maybe it was last year, and said he would prefer to abstain from voting if this question came up and he was forced to vote along party lines. And look what's happened today. He's part of those 98 people. I tell you, Dean has sent us a message on 0427JOY949. "Clearly, I'm disappointed with the Libs' lack of spine not to cross the floor, but our PM should not be left off the hook either. I do not accept that her vote should represent her opinion. She represents people's rights and should vote for Australians." Very interesting point. Thank you very much for your feedback, Dean.
Absolutely. Now, we will be posting up on our Facebook page, and also through, you can email us this to find out the information as well, a full list of the politicians and how they actually voted. Mm-hmm. We urge you to have a look at this list.
It's up there at the moment, actually. Yep. If you want to go and have a look at our Facebook and Twitter,
and you can actually have a look at this list and find out your local member. Mm. See how they've voted. If they've voted in the negative, it is your, you know, and if you feel passionate about this, go and get yourself an appointment with them. Mm-hmm. Have a chat, and it's the only way we're going to get this
Someone said that to me today, actually. I said, I'll have to ring up my local member. They said, no, it's more important to make a meeting face and see them face to face. Take along your boyfriend. I know I'm going to. I'm going to just drag him into that. Anyway, you're on Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
We've been talking about marriage equality and the great bill that's been put forward. And, of course, you know, the effect that it has on our political leaders as well. And we have a news poll that's actually been about how the parties are actually going, Geoffrey.
There's been a significant increase in the primary vote for the Labor Party, which on a two-party preferred basis means that the Labor Party and the opposition are 50-50, and it's the first time since about mid 2011 that it has been this close. So despite all that's happened and the bit of bad press around Julia, there's been a move back. I'm not quite sure of the reasons for that and why people out there in the electorate have made such a jump. And it's been a jump from about 43% up to 50% for Labor, which is a huge change.
Certainly. And as well, a lot of people have their views on federal politics at the moment where people are only voting and people are favourable towards the least hateful because there's a lot of negative politics that's going on in Parliament at the moment. So whether you want to interpret the latest news poll as that hey, I hate this person the least, that's up to you.
Vote for the one you hate the least is... Yeah. It's pretty bad politics.
And this news poll actually was out this morning, so well and truly before the vote was finalised. So it doesn't have any direct correlation at this stage on the vote. It'll be interesting to see within the next week of what the correlation will be between people's opinions and the vote.
And it's important to note that this is news poll. So these are the polls that are published in the Australian newspaper, which predominantly have a right-wing kind of bias, if you want to call it that. There's many words that you can use. I'm going to use bias. So it's actually really interesting to see that Labor's coming back. Labor from the left is coming back.
Certainly the news poll is regarded as one of the better polls up there with Gallup and a couple of others. If you look at the better Prime Minister stakes, Julia has gone up to about 48% compared to Tony Abbott's 32% as the preferred or better Prime Minister. So that is a huge change, whereas there was only one percentage between them when the poll was last done 2 weeks ago.
So the interesting thing is, of course, is we've seen how the Marriage Equality Bill has gone through Parliament today. And, of course, you know, the Marriage Act is a federal act. But we've seen a lot through the different states actually quoting about their opinions on the different marriage acts. Today we have been released information that a cross-party group of New South Wales MPs have joined forces to attempt to introduce a marriage equality bill in that state. So for me it is actually very interesting. We had, you know, information from Tasmania a couple of weeks ago that they're going to be doing this, and people stood up and said, well, no, you can't do this. There's been a loophole that they've found in the law. So I believe that we've got a few states that are actually now looking into doing this.
On top of New South Wales and Tasmania that you've just mentioned, the Australian Capital Territory and Western Australia are looking at introducing laws as well, which makes us all think that maybe the way we've been viewing equal marriage is going to change, because I always saw it as an issue that would have to be sorted out federally first. We may see the reverse of that and see it being sorted out at some state level and then see what happens in the federal sphere, whether they have to challenge it in the High Court to knock it down, whether they would actually do that. So it will be a very complicated but different way of getting towards equal marriage, and messier, I dare say, because it won't be the same across the whole country. It'll be state by state with different rules and different interpretations.
And we spoke about this last month when we did a marriage equality special here on Gay News Week. Check the podcast if you want to have a listen to that. But I'm inclined to agree with what you just said then, Jeffrey. It's a messy way of doing it, and I'd prefer to see the whole thing, the whole nation as one, moving forward with equal marriage. I don't think state by state's really the answer to go with it, but yeah.
But I'm happy to go with messy and get the end result rather than clean and not get it, which is where we are with the federal parliament's decision today.
But my concern with that is that are we going to be doing it the messy way, and are some states going to be left behind and then just left to themselves, and then so the poor people down in those states don't have equal marriage and the rest of us do?
Well, including Victoria, because the Victorian Parliament has actually stood up and said, well, no, we won't be supporting any push. The reality is, at the end of the day, the Marriage Act is a federal law. So the states can actually sanction this in their separate states, but the ultimate control on the decision of this will be held with the federal parliament. The great thing in New South Wales is with Premier Barry O'Farrell and opposition leader John Robinson, they are both supporting the right for their members to have a free vote on this. So it's nice to actually see two parties come together. It's a cross-party group of MPs that have actually put this bill together, from independents, members of both parties, Greens, and to be able to do this. So
I think it's really important that the New South Wales bill has come up, because if we look at Tasmania, ACT and Western Australia, they are small population groups. So in terms of its effect federally, it is fairly limited. So to have New South Wales, the most populous state, get across the line will just be the most important step forward for this particular campaign. The little states are important, but it's not going to have the same sway necessarily.
Mm, definitely.
Well, they've also called it, this is also shown because the Liberal member, I'm not, correct me, Geoffrey, is New South Wales currently a Liberal or a Labor?
It's recently changed to Conservative, yes.
So they are Liberal. So this is why they've called on opposition Tony Abbott to actually say, be like the Premier of New South Wales and give your members the right to free vote.
Because the Liberal Party has historically always been the conscience voting party. They've been able to, on conscience issues like this one, like marriage, they've always been traditionally the ones that have said, okay, yeah, you can have the conscience vote.
And certainly, you're absolutely right, Matt. The history of the Liberal Party is that they have allowed their members free votes on matters of conscience, and the Labor Party has always restricted that significantly.
So, you know, not only are we dealing with this in our own country at the moment, but of course, you know, New South Wales has just recently gone to Parliament. Sorry, New Zealand has recently gone, got New South Wales in the brain. New Zealand has recently gone to had this bill put before Parliament. The first part of it has actually been passed. But now the Prime Minister, who has worked so hard with his constituents and with the members of Parliament to help get this through, has been attacked in a leaflet campaign in his electorate, which is now calling him too gay. Now, this is a straight man who's in favour of equal rights.
Sounds like a pretty big compliment to me.
Well, you know, I mean, seriously, boys, you know, I'm just, yeah.
But the most shocking thing about this is that I don't even... correct me if I'm wrong, but John Key isn't gay. He's got a wife and kids, I believe.
That's right, yes, so, he does.
So to be calling him too gay, come on, just...
And It leads back into some of those conversations we've had in earlier weeks around language, where it's like using gay as though it is a negative term. It's the it's so gay thing being done by leaders of organisations. So they need to understand the level of harm that those sorts of comments can make when you're using gay as a negative word to describe people. So this is gay bashing at a very senior level. I'm not quite sure of the organisation that has done this, but it is someone probably like the New Zealand Christian lobby, I suspect.
But also, too, the funny thing is he said, well, I was actually forced to marry his wife in a garden because she's Irish Catholic and he comes from a Jewish background. So, of course, you know, he's had an untraditional marriage in a time that's supposed to see traditional marriage.
So that's what too gay is it?
Yes.
Rightio, you're on Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to the Gay News Week podcast with Sammy, Geoffrey and Matt. Get in touch. Email gaynewsweek@joy.org.au or check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links to our social media pages.
We have been talking about the great marriage equality debate that's been going on all day in Parliament today, the bills that have come forward, and we have had some more wonderful feedback on SMS 0427 joy949. This has appalled me today with the vote. It's ridiculous to see all the sheep clamouring to one side of the house. This is all about our equal rights. We are a lesbian couple who have been waiting to get our equal rights so we can get married in our own country. Are we governed by a religious federal part? Surely it seems like it today. We need a change and to find a way. Change needs to happen now. Are we going to wait for another 30 plus years for people to decide we need to have our equal rights?
Mm, thank you very much, Paulette, for that message. We appreciate you taking the time to send some feedback through, and we're always looking to hear from you. So please do send us a text 0427 joy949 on air at joy.org.au and let us know what you think about the whole stuff.
And we've also got another SMS just saying, a great discussion tonight, guys. Well done from South Yarra.
Thank you.
Now, we have, of course, had so many things that we had on the plate today. And, of course, we were talking about a doctor in New South Wales who has taken a very interesting view on curing homosexuality.
Because apparently it's so terrible. Tell me more.
This particular doctor is a member of the Exclusive Brethren, which is a very conservative religious group. And he had a referred young man to him from within that community. And he put him on some medication which allegedly would cure him of his gayness. It clearly didn't work, but he has, as a result of doing that and it being outside standard medical practice, been brought up before the Medical Practitioners Board and deregistered.
Now, this medication that he was actually had prescribed to this 18-year-old man who was actually visiting Australia at the time from New Zealand and was taken to this doctor from another member of their religious community. The medication that he was actually given is the same medication which is actually used for chemical castration. Jeez. So it's to basically neuter this poor young man to cure him of his gayness.
It's appalling that these people that's actually still existing within our society with these kind of views, and I think he should have the massive law book thrown at his head. And yes, anyway.
You'd like to think there might be some legal consequences that come out of this in terms of a suit or a payout or something, because you don't know what sort of effects this treatment may have had on this young man. But it's great to see that the medical board, which is now national, has deregistered him.
Yes, and, you know, I mean, this drug is actually used for, you know, many reasons, including, you know, helping men with prostate cancer, but also the other use is for treatment of sexual deviancy. So I think he's taken that, you know, a little bit too far, because they do use this.
Mm. Other stories catching our eyes today was also Craigieburn Secondary College. What's been happening over there, Sammy?
Well, the students have actually were handing out flyers for Wear It Purple Day, which was last week. Mm-hmm. Now, they were confronted with complaints from other students and also from a staff member at the school saying that they felt the flyers were offensive. Now, there's probably more to this story, you know, as we've sort of had a bit of a look at it, that at the end of the day, they probably didn't go through the right channels in presenting the request for the flyers to school council.
Mm. Yeah, the way this story is kind of being portrayed is that it's outrageous that they're punishing these students for handing out leaflets, which are essentially kind of good for people's mental health because they're pro-gay and showing it's okay to be gay. But at the same time, I know this may be kind of weird for me to be saying this, but I think the school was in the right in this instance, because obviously the school has a duty of care to those students and to the parents of those students, that they should be, that the school should know what's being given to the kids. You can't just go around printing flyers about anything and handing it out to kids, and if they don't punish these people, they're kind of setting a precedent for it. So
I think part of the backstory that you'd like to know is whether there have been other handouts that have been distributed to the student group that might not have been through the right approval process, that maybe haven't been pulled from circulation. But I think it would be pretty right that the parents of the students and probably the, I don't know if it's a public school or a private school, I'm not sure about that, but whoever the overarching governing people are, would expect the principal of that school to monitor what is being given out to the students. I think you're right. But there was also a teacher at the school who claimed that she found the material offensive and as a result of that wanted it pulled from distribution.
I'm interested to get your views on it, Sammy, actually, because you have got a son at school. Do you think the school's done the right thing?
Well, I think I would want to know that anything being handed out at a school that my child attends is monitored by the school. I mean, I would love to see my son coming home from school with a pamphlet saying that the school has a Safe Schools Coalition coordinator, mm-hmm. which provides a safe space for all members of the GLBTIQ community. But I would also be as equally disgusted if my son came home from school saying that there was a white supremacy organisation being set up, or an organisation which was extremely discriminatory, or, you know, let's teach children how to handle guns organisation set up or something. So, you know, from that point of view, I mean, you know, when you first read this article, of course, you know, your hands go up in the air and you say, oh, you know, these kids are being discriminated against. I think the big picture is here is as long as they followed the right channels, then we have the right to be upset about the teacher saying that it's offensive. I think the good thing is an area like Craigieburn is a new satellite area that's only been going for about 20 odd years. Mm. Has become incredibly populated, and I think it's great to see a school that actually has a great community organisation set up within it and within the area for it.
Mm.
Another story that caught our eye this week was about some gay dating apps, and that one of them in particular has led to some episodes of violence, quite substantial injury being perpetrated on people by hooking up with people that they've only contacted across the internet.
It's an interesting story here because police are searching for two of the alleged attackers, and it's out of Sydney. And I'm interested in this one. See, I don't use the apps because they have a certain market that they go for that I don't classify myself as part of. But there are people in these apps that don't understand the power of them and that they don't really use their brain sometimes by sharing locations as far as where they're living or where they're working, for example.
And I think people should be allowed to effectively do what they want to do, providing they do it safely. And that's where my concern with this comes in. And when talking about significant assault here, and I'm reading from one of the releases about it, and it says the victim was forced into his bed, pinned down, was gagged. The second man stole several items. Before the man fled, they threatened the victim with a firearm. So that's the level of violence we're talking about. So it's about people taking care out there and not putting themselves into unsafe circumstances or putting in place some mechanisms so that they can increase their safety, whether that involves having other people around or whatever.
I think the reality is we are now in this age. We're in the technology age. You know, a lot of people, you know, I'm a single woman. I use the internet for dating because, you know, between my work life and my joy life, I don't have a lot of time to sort of, you know, and I'm, you know, I have a young child. I'm not really interested in going out and hitting the bars and all that. And it's a little bit different for women than it is for men. You know, we look for different things through our dating apps. But the reality is we are in this sort of age now where we're using this technology to meet up with people. And I think the reality that has to come along with that is we also have to keep that reality check there, that you are talking to strangers, you're talking to people that you don't know about. And quite often there's, you know, with the boys, and, you know, most of my friends are gay boys, and I think that's wonderful with the apps and all that, but there's the excitement of meeting somebody new and you trottle off out the house, and sometimes you have to, you know, have that second thought of what sort of areas you're meeting and you know, do you know enough about this person to hook up and be safe at the same time.
The apps are very convenient, but it's all about just keeping your brain on and being wary of stranger danger, if I can use something my mother used to enforce into me.
Yeah, so I don't have much else to say about the dating apps. I actually think that people, yeah, need to keep the blood flow going to their brain a little bit more when they're using them, and you know, remembering that there's more than just one organ.
We've also had a very interesting story too. I mean, you know, Julia's gone and done something which is not exactly savoury to our community with voting no in the Parliament today. But last week she endorsed a bid for Sydney to host the World Gay Rugby Cup in 2014. So I think that this is something that's really amazing for our community. I mean, of course, we had the boys that went over there. We're talking about the Bingham Cup, which was in Manchester this year. And she's actually supported the bid for it to be held here in Sydney.
Sydney, that's right.
In 2014.
That's good. I think it's good to see her doing something for the GLBTIQ community and gay rugby. Come on, hot.
Well, she's actually...
Sorry. What?
Oh,
rugby players are hot.
I know, you're such a boy.
Anyway.
She's actually said Australia's a sports-loving nation, and it's also got an abiding commitment to diversity and mutual respect. I mean, our boys did really well over there in the Cup this year. And the Bingham Cup, of course, is a gay... because it's the World Gay Rugby Cup. But it is an amazing way of bringing together a lot of different nations and showing support for members of our community through a sporting venue. Now, Matt, our icon of the week this week.
Yes, we're kind of bucking the trend this week because usually we pick one person that's done something outstanding for our community and that need to be recognised for that, but we're not doing one person, we're not doing two people, we're not doing three people, we're doing 42, because I am really passionate about this and I'm proud of the 42 members, although we've bagged out a few of the people of the no's today in Parliament that were talking about the Marriage Amendment Bill. There are 42 members in Parliament that have stood up, they've had the balls to stand up and say, yes, everybody deserves their equal rights and yes, we should have marriage equality. So this week, I and we are awarding our icon of the week here at Gay News Week to the 42 members of Parliament that voted yes to amend the Marriage Equality Bill.
Yeah, so we give you a great big Gay News Week hats off and a thank you from the bottom of our hearts for supporting our community.
Exactly. You are on Gay News Week right here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Jennifer Cannis and you're listening to Gay News Week on Joy 94.9.
We've talked a bit about politics tonight and one of the things I thought we might want to have a chat about is the federal election, which is coming up next year. I think we should start a little bit of a poll in the studio. Mm. Hopefully we'll still be here and we'll still be broadcasting coming up to the election.
Depends, of course we will.
Depends how many comments you make, Jeffrey.
I know.
If get ready I call to turn his mic off, okay? Ready? Go.
Yeah, we don't have a dump button. Yeah. But, yeah, how do we reckon it's going to go? I think we should put some predictions out there. It's a 50-50 in the poll this week, which is a significant change for Julia and the Labor Party. Do we reckon she's going to win?
I reckon we're going to see Rudd back in the leadership and Rudd will roll Abbott.
Wow. Wow, that's a big call.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm the lesbo with big calls, so, you know.
I'd like to see Turnbull make the make the role for the leadership of the Liberal Party. I like him as a person and a politician as well. I think it would be interesting to see someone other than Tony Abbott, the head of the Liberal Party. That's just my own opinion.
Do we reckon Liberal or Labor are going to get across the line?
If Turnbull is the Liberal leader... They will take it home and the Labor won't see him for the dust.
Mm. Yep, completely agree. But I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I've turned 18. I have to vote in this federal election and I'm kind of scared because I don't like either of them.
Don't worry, we'll tell you what to do.
No. I don't know if I should be listening to you either, Sammy.
No, I wouldn't.
I think that it'll be... closer than we thought. I think as the election comes up closer, people are going to get a clearer view of Tony Abbott and they're going to start looking at some of his record and they're going to start asking, from my perspective anyway, is this the person we want as Prime Minister? They're going to have to compare that at the moment with whether they want to continue with Julia Gillard. And so, I don't know. But I actually reckon it will be closer. I think the Libs will get across the line if I were to call it now. But I think it'll be closer than we would have been talking about a few weeks back.
Mm, it's scary to think. But yeah, Libs, I think, are in for a chance.
Well, it's going to be very, very interesting to see what will happen in the coming weeks. But this has been a Gay News Week. But unfortunately, this is all we have time for tonight. Oh. A very big thank you to everyone who joined in on our conversation tonight. We always appreciate your feedback and it helps us think of, you know, more topics and great discussions. And a special thank you, of course, to our technical producer, Matt Nock, who pushes our buttons.
Mm. And if at any time you want to get in contact with us, because as Sammy just said, we really do appreciate when you do get in contact because it makes our job easier. And we like to listen to what you have to say so we can create a show for you. Make sure you email us, gaynewsweek@joy.org.au, or head to joy.org.au and find our page there and connect with us via social media or, yeah, send us an email.
And certainly we have our podcasts available of our previous shows and previous interviews, and so we would refer you to those. So hang around on Joy 94.9. This has been Gay News Week.
We look forward to your company again next week.
Here's news. They say no news is good news, right? But no news means no Gay News Week, and that would be bad news. Bad, bad news. So for news you can't refuse, choose Gay News on Joy 94.9. Now there's something for you to muse. That rhymes.
You've been listening to Gay News Week. Check out joy.org.au/gaynewsweek for all of the links on how you can keep up to date with the team on social media. And be sure to tune in next Wednesday from 7 p.m. right here on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.